On to some interesting news out this week. Research that explores a relationship between legalizing medical marijuana and opioid overdose deaths. The data was published online in the Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine. And joining us now is Marcus Bachhuber. He is the lead researcher for this study. He's an internist and part of the Robert Wood Johnson Clinical Scholars Program at the Philadelphia VA. Marcus, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Marcus, what did you set out to investigate? This was a team effort of sorts.
I'm a primary care doctor, and in my practice, I take care of a lot of patients that have chronic pain. And I've heard from some patients in the past that marijuana was the only thing that worked for their pain, and some patients would even say that they had tried prescription painkillers, such as morphine, Percocet, Vicodin, and those didn't work, and so they ended up using marijuana, which they found helped them. So in talking with some colleagues over the years, I had wondered how this might play out in states that had legal medical marijuana. So would people switch from opioid painkillers to medical marijuana, or would they supplement with medical marijuana and be able to decrease their painkiller dose? If either of those were the case, then states with legal medical marijuana might see lower rates of opioid overdose deaths.
Let me ask you, though, what do we know about people who overdose on opioids? Are they typically in medical care? Are the opioids prescribed to them?
That's a great question. And so we're still learning more information about this. But from what we know now, about 60% of people that overdose and die are people that have a legitimate prescription from a single provider. The other 40% either have prescriptions from multiple providers or obtain the medicines through other sources. So it's difficult to know of that 60% how many of them were abusing or misusing and how many of them were actually following their doctor's instructions. But we think that a large portion of people, it was unintentional overdoses that happened even in spite of following their doctor's instructions.
So what was the data set you dug into?
We got data on death certificates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They released this data publicly. And we looked at rates of prescription painkiller overdoses in all states from 1999 to 2010. And we compared rates in states that had medical marijuana laws and states that didn't. And we found that in the years after implementation of a medical marijuana law, there was about a 25% lower rate of prescription opioid painkiller overdose deaths than we would expect based on previous year's trends and trends in the rest of the country. And it's important to note that this wasn't a 25% decrease. This was a 25% lower rate than we would have expected based on the previous year's trends and what was happening in the rest of the country. In all states from 1999 to 2010, the rate of painkiller overdoses increased.
But can we know whether people in those states substituted medical marijuana for opioids in treating their chronic pain?
That's a great question. And going into the study, that was our hypothesis. But from our design, we can't tell the exact reason behind our findings. So it could be that people with chronic pain were substituting or switching to marijuana. It could also be that these medical marijuana laws alter the way that people who are addicted to opioids either abuse them or misuse them. Or it could be something else entirely.
In states where medical marijuana is permitted, what do we know about how physicians use medical marijuana to help patients control chronic pain?
Currently, there's 23 states that have medical marijuana laws, plus the District of Columbia. So in many states, medical marijuana can be recommended for a variety of medical conditions, from nausea or cancer-related symptoms or pain or glaucoma and a couple other things. And a few states make their enrollment information public. And so when looking at those states, we find that chronic pain is the vast majority of people. So the vast majority of people report chronic or severe pain as the reason for taking marijuana. So for example, in Oregon, this is something like over 90% of people registered for medical marijuana report chronic or severe pain as the reason.
What is the kind of feedback you've been getting for this study? Has this kind of perked up interest?
So this is two very controversial topics. I knew that it was controversial when we started looking into it, but I was honestly surprised by the amount of attention that it's gotten. I would say from the beginning, we felt it was very important to be open and transparent about the limitations of our approach and the limitations of our study. And so a lot of people have focused on those limitations, which we, you know, realize and we're the first to admit.
And this is a very political topic, too.
Yeah, this is exceedingly political.
And I guess this is difficult, not just because it's a very political issue, but it also has this correlation and causation question that often vexes researchers, right?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. So, you know, establishing causation in medical research is very difficult. And the usual standard is a randomized controlled trial where you randomly select people to receive one treatment or another. It's hard for me to think of a way that you could apply that design to this research question. And so in situations like this, we're left to use or to analyze the data that are out there. So we controlled for many of the differences between the states, but it's possible that states were working to address the problem of overdoses at the same time that they implemented medical marijuana laws, and that the things that they did to address that problem had nothing to do with medical marijuana laws. So in that case, it would make it look like the medical marijuana laws had an association, but really it was related to other factors.
So what would you like to study next? What would be interesting to investigate now that you have this kind of base finding?
So I think what's necessary now would be studies of large numbers of individuals over time to see how these laws might shift individual behavior. So these could be people with chronic pain who are candidates for medical marijuana, or these could be people at risk of abusing marijuana or abusing opioids, and tracking them over time to see how these laws might affect them.
Marcus Bachhuber is an internist, and he's part of the Robert Wood Johnson Clinical Scholars Program at the Philadelphia VA. Marcus, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.